Okay, thank you. Yeah, number one, I take no credit for any of this, except if I've got any mistakes, it's all mine. The rest of it is all from our studies in the scriptures, and the idea of the pie chart is from Sister Karen Wildblood. And she came up to me one day, and she had all these circles on a piece of paper and said, is there any way to actually accurately position lines on the paper? And she wanted to see the chronology in a circle, because at a glance, you can see how much memory's in your computer. So, it made sense that you could get a good perspective on the plan, on chronology, if you had it around in a circle. So I said, yeah, that would be easy. And as soon as I started to do it, I put in Adam, and then I put in when he died, and I was amazed. And then so I just directly put in where the flood is. And again, I was really amazed, and I thought, I need this too. And so that's how all of this began. And I want to read a quote from the second volume before we start here. The time prophecies were not given. This is page 26. Time prophecies were not given to satisfy mere curiosity, but to enable a student of the word to recognize the foretold events when due, and just so, prophecies making the time and manner of the second advent are due to be understood about the time of that event. One cannot read the Old Testament scriptures thoughtfully without noticing the prominence given to dates, and the great particularity with which some are marked even to a day. But the close student will find that these various dates and chronological references are linked in a wonderful chain of evidence which points out with great precision, particularly the two most notable and important events in the history of the world: the first and second advents of the world's Redeemer and Lord, the most important matters associated therewith. And so I always really appreciated that quote. Plus, we would like to show this one right here. This is on the lower right of the chart, and for everyone online, the brethren here in Mahomet will have all of the files for you to be able to run it on PCs and with Windows and the Macs, and also the files for the charts are there, copyrighted by God, so it's for all of us. So. And then the viewer that I'm using, it can be used in Windows, and Sister Karen has the instructions on there too, on a sheet. It's in a PDF or Word file that will show you how to get it for a Mac. And we may try to have some PDFs, but you really can't see very much there, actually. So anyway, this quote in volume 2 is one of the greatest blessings of any studies that you do here. I'm not sure why this is jumping, but have your Bible in hand. When you won't have time here because we're going to hopefully go too fast. But when you're studying in the volume, have your Bible in hand and verify every quotation, that you may receive this as God's word and not as man's. And Brother Russell suggests, don't believe it because I said it. Search the scriptures and see whether these things are so. That's where you get excited, when you look at the Bible and, yep, that's what the Bible says. So just, and we had had a request about the divine plan of the ages. Here's all of the lines on the chart of the ages to scale. And note, as you come around, you've got the world that was coming to the flood, the patriarchal age to the death of Jacob, where his 12 sons became 12 tribes of Israel, beginning the Jewish age. And then you have the 40-year harvest at the end of the Jewish age with its prominent dates, 29, 33, 36, 69 AD. And then you have the 40 years gospel harvest at the end of the gospel age. And noting there, you can't read that very well, right? Unless you zoomed way in on it and way in on it and way in on it, you wouldn't be able to see what's on the divine plan of the ages chart. Write down the vision and make it plain upon tables. It was what the commandment was to the man clothed in linen. And so that's why on all of the divine plan charts, there's a little note at the bottom, not to scale. So you need to always remember that this is it to scale. And we were asked once to, what does it look like if you have the divine plan linear? So we did that as well here. And again, you can see the ages and the harvest. You wouldn't be able to tell much what was going on there if it was to scale. So we appreciate why it's not. So what we want to do here is we want to take a look at, and let me, I'm doing this so everyone can see, because if you download the program, you'll be able to do this. I'm going to go into the layers here. And I'm going to shut off the Jubilees according to the law. There's a light bulb on the left side. Shut that off. It's hollering at me a little bit because I'm turning off the current layer. And then I'm going to turn off the Jubilees according to prophecy. Notice Jubilee law, Jubilee prophecy there. And that'll make it a little easier as we're going through the chronology. So if you're if you happen to be looking along in volume two, you'll note, and by the way, this shows also Adam's fall. So there were 2 years. Note, we probably have about a 10-foot diameter circle right now so that you can see 2 years. And we know, just because we've already studied, all of us, that Adam was created in 4128 and fell 4126. So we'll go out here now, and in your volume, after you read, take out your Bible and look up every citation, you'll read, Adam lived 130 years and begat Seth. And then Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. Now you'll note here, I've got those dates here. And when you're starting out, as Brother Russell tells us, we couldn't put any dates there because we have no link in this time frame from Adam's creation. We don't know when he fell when we start out with chronology. So it's extreme. We don't know much about the timing of things at all without chronology. So even though you can see the dates here, we don't know them yet. So then Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And then these are the scriptures that you would be looking up as you read the volume, and you want to look them up, make sure they're really there. And then Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. Jared lived 162 years, begat Enoch. Methuselah lived 65 years and begat Lamech. Noah's father. And Lamech lived 187 years and begat Noah, or 182 years and begat Noah. And so here's an interesting thing. Here's where Adam died. So that was a big surprise to me when we made the circle diagram. Then Noah was 500 years old when he begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So that puts him at this point on our circle here. And that is Genesis 5:32. So you'll see there's some extra scriptures that we have in here with the dates of things as well. And then we find out from Genesis 7:6 that Noah was 600 years old when the waters of the flood dried up. So that brings you on the first section up to the flood. If you get up and make sure to get out your calculator and add all of the numbers up, and what you'll find, but don't believe me or Brother Russell, it's 1656 years. That's volume 2, page 43. So that information is on your chart as well. And then, so one thing we wanted to note here about Shem, Ham, and Japheth, they are not in the order of their birth. And that'll become significant in chronology in general, but that's proven in scriptures who was born when. You don't know exactly when Ham was born, but Shem was not first. And I give a reprint of the poll that I really appreciated. The one I've got here is on Abraham's age. Actually, Shem is pretty easy to see. There are some Bibles, I have a dozen of them in my e-sword, and two-thirds of them have Shem being the eldest in the family. And the other third of them have Japheth being the eldest in the family. And what our next chronological thing is going to show which ones are correct. So Noah was 600 at the flood, and that's why I mentioned in the scripture, Genesis 5:32 mentions that Noah was 500 years old when he begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So now we're at the flood, 600 years. Shem begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood when he was 100 years old, Genesis 11:10. So Shem was 2 years younger than Japheth, but Japheth was actually the firstborn. And how do we know that? When after the flood, Noah drank wine, got drunk, which apparently didn't happen before the flood. And Ham, the youngest son, uncovered his father's nakedness. And the scripture shows that Shem and Japheth held a garment behind them, walked into the room backwards, and covered their father's nakedness, whom the younger son had exposed. So that gives you absolutely the order of the births. Japheth was first, Shem was next, Ham was last. So why were they in this order then? There's a comment in the reprint on Abraham's age and when entering Canaan, reprint 1595. I really recommend reading that. It's very short, sweet, and to the point about why the chronology in volume 2 is correct and other ideas about it. Are not concerning Abraham there, and the same thing would apply to Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Well, what about the Bibles that say that Shem was the eldest. Every one of the 12 Bibles say this properly, that Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. So the Bibles that have Shem and Japheth reversed are contradicting themselves. And the Bible translations that have it correct are in harmony. And again, a good reason why we should be listening to God's chronology, because he instructed the writer with the inkhorn, the man clothed in linen properly. And remember, the scripture shows that in Ezekiel, I have done as thou hast commanded me. So then Arphaxad was 35 years old, and he begat Shelah. And excuse me if I pronounce it, some of these are wrong. And Shelah lived 30 years old, begat Eber. Let me make this bigger. Okay. Let's see, how big can we get? There we go. That'll probably help everybody. Okay, then, so Shelah was 35 years old when he begat Eber. Eber was 34 years old when he got Peleg, and Peleg was 30 years old when he begat Reu. Reu was 32 years old when he begat Serug. Serug was 30 years old when he begat Nahor, and then Nahor was 29 years old when he begat Terah, there who was Abraham's father. And then we could go ahead and take a look at this here at the moment, because let's just go on down here. Okay, so Terah died when he was 205 years old when he died, and then that is where the covenant with Abraham is. So we're pointing to the same line here. Terah died at 2045 BC, when he was 205 years old. And then that was when we had the covenant with Abraham. So if you look up all of the scriptures in here, you will find, everything that has to do with Abraham and with Stephen saying that when Abraham's father was dead, he went into the land of Canaan, and he was to go into the land, leave his father's house and enter into the land of Canaan. And then just another note here, Shem died at 1970 BC. That's Genesis 11, verses 10 and 11. And so from the period, though, in chronological wise here, when we get down to Terah died, that's all of genealogy that we've got right there. And those total up, if you use your calculator on it, to 427 years. And then what we have next that we needed the link in the New Testament for is how long was it from the covenant with Abraham to the Exodus. And that was the 430 years. Read all the scriptures over here on this side to bring you to that period of time. And another thing while we're up here is let's look, here's when the Great Pyramid was built. Now, here's another really interesting thing here. Noah died after the Great Pyramid was built in 2122 BC. So if Shem was the one who was organizing building the Great Pyramid like we think, Noah was still alive then. Isn't that pretty amazing? And then Another very interesting thing here is that we just had added in to here is Shem died in 1970 BC. Isaac was born already. So here's a thing I think is very interesting that I would have never noticed. I wouldn't have had enough looking at the math to really get the picture, but Shem could have said to Isaac, because here's Shem's death, here's Isaac, 2020 BC, 1970 BC, 50 years there, he could have been telling Isaac what his grandfather and father did. And let's back up here again. Okay, so Adam died here. Lamech is his grandfather. And so Shem could have been telling Isaac all about the flood that he and his brothers and his dad and his grandfather and his great grandfather were in, or you know, built the ark for. That'd be first-hand information to Isaac. What a thrilling thing to think about. I mean, and then who? Here's where Adam died. Lamech and Methuselah. He could say, "My grandfather and my great grandfather knew Adam." So think of how tremendously accurate the Bible information about creation and everything is. There's not much hand-me-down going on there at all. This is one thing we've really appreciated with the privilege of making this chart. So then we get down, so we're looking at the statements about that Stephen made about Abraham entering into the land, and when his father died, we get that. We get the 430 years in Galatians to the day. That was another one there where Brother Russell states this is 430 years to the day from the covenant with Abraham and the Exodus. And then next in chronology that you'll find will be they went into the wilderness and were in the wilderness for 40 years and then finally entered into the land of Canaan. And that would be at the end of the 40 years in the wilderness. And then you had the 6 years division of the land. And then you've got the total period of the judges, which you get from Acts 13, verses 18 to 21. And these are all scriptures right out of the volume. As you're studying in the volume, you'll have this here. It's nice to just look over at the chart and just kind of see where you are on the grand scheme of things. It makes studying a lot easier there. So then we have the period of the judges. Or that was the 450 years period of the judges. And then we get into the kings. Now, that's where another discrepancy comes up with chronology sometimes. Ones aren't using the chronology of the kings to get the chronology of the kings. And if you look up what does chronology mean, it's the history and the timing of it written down. And so that's what the first and second chronicles are. So that's why Brother Russell would have used that for the chronology for the kings. And so we really appreciated that as well. And so then we were missing one though. Which one was that? Saul's space. And that's in Acts 13:21. Saul's space of 40 years. Then you go to Chronicles, and then we have David reign for 40 years, and Solomon reigned for 40 years, and then Rehoboam reigned for 17 years, Abijah reigned for 3 years, Asa reigned for 41 years, Jehoshaphat for 25 years, Jeroboam for 8 years, and then Ahaziah 1 year, Athaliah for 6 years, Jehoash 40 years, Amaziah 29 years, Uzziah 52 years, Joham 16 years, Ahaz 16 years, then Hezekiah 29 years, Manasseh 55 years, Ammon 2 years, Joash 31 years, and then Jehoiakim 11 years, and Zedekiah 11 years, the wicked prince. Trying to figure out why this is jumping on us here. And if you total up all, you just get your calculator out again, you total up all the kings, that's 513 years. So then Brother Russell, and that's, by the way, the Zedekiah is 606 BC, and we're about to get a link to secular history. And what that is the Edict of Cyrus in 536 BC. And here's a nice quick hint to find this. Just do a Bible search on Cyrus, and you will get the first pick. And then there's about, I don't know, maybe 10 hits on the name Cyrus. And if you go to the Ezra 1:1, that one I can remember easy. What happened was God stirred up the mind of Cyrus to do two things. To send the Israelites back to Israel for the regathering of the land, and the, 536 was the end, and it, but all of the references that talk about Cyrus and what he was to do says in the first year of Cyrus. So that means when he took the Israelites out of captivity in Babylon, which they were in there for 70 years, that the land could enjoy her Sabbath. And so then at the end of it, that's when God stirred up Cyrus's mind in the first year of Cyrus that he would return the Israelites back to build the house of God in Jerusalem. And there's another thing he said, and put it in writing. And that's one thing that I just so appreciate there. Why Brother Russell said that's a solid state or a solid date in secular history. And I've done searches on it before and comes up 536. And you can get other numbers and stuff there too. But the accounts in the scriptures show that he said exactly the same thing. I think the other one's in Chronicles maybe. I just don't remember right off the top of my head, but it's stated in there identically in both of them. Why would two different prophets put it in there identically? it was written down. God had him put it in writing to emphasize that point. So I just really was appreciating that. Now that you have that date, then you can know that, so they 70 years prior was where they went into captivity at the dethronement of Zedekiah. So now you've got the end of the reign of the kings, and you've got the 70 years desolation of the land to bring you to 536, which is a date in secular history. Bingo. Now you've got a thumbtack in there for how many years this is, and that was 536 BC. So the total of number of years you got is 4,128 when you total up everything. Zoom out here again. So everything that Brother Russell was totaling up to where the flood at the top here, and then up to where Terah died, Abraham went into the land of Canaan, to the Exodus, and then the 40 years in the wilderness, the division of the land, the period of the judges, and period of the kings. It's all there. Total up the whole stream of it, and that's where you get 4128. So 4128 years, and then you want to know, okay, we're getting some idea now how long the seventh day is. So Brother Russell is assuming then that the seventh day is probably 7,000 years long, because we've got all the chronology in here. He's already in the recognition of the Lord as present. So the reign of Christ is 1,000 years. So where does 6,000 years fall? You subtract the 4126 and you come up with 1872. So 4126 years back from there, you've got Adam's creation to there. But then he says there seemed to be a screw loose. There's where that funny statement is in the chronology. He looked at it over and over and over and over again, and you know, why isn't that ending up being 1874 instead of 1872? And so, but you need the Jubilees to find out the 1874 date. That's one of the main keys in the second volume. You're still not sure about how things are. You've got a link to the calendar. And if you back up from the BCAD date, then that has Adam at 428 BC. But where did the times of restitution begin? When did our Lord return? The only way to find that is through the Jubilees. So let's turn on the Jubilees. We'll bring them back on again. We're going to turn on Jubilees according to prophecy and Jubilees according to the law. Now remember, when was it that the Jubilees were to begin counting? God told them that when they entered into the land, they were to begin the Sabbath. So in other words, the Sabbath system or Jubilee counting. And after thinking about this, I think I will put in the little circles that here that fill up one of these. But you had 7 years and then a Sabbath year. Those would be here. with a Sabbath year, and then you have another 7 years in the Sabbath year, and when you have 7 times 7, or 49 cycles with the Sabbath days, or it'd be 6 days in the Sabbath, 6 days in the Sabbath, that's 7, 7, 7, 7, like that. When you have 49 of them, 7 times 7 years, then you have a Jubilee year, which would be the 50th year. So the way we're showing that on here, I hope everybody can see that okay. Here's your 49 years with the 50th or Jubilee on it. Then remembering what they were supposed to do next was when they had, they were to keep doing that. So we know what happened in Israel. They have those years. So if we started count, we might as well count them here. We can all see it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Let me take it up here now. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Here's 19. What happened to the Israelites after the 19th Jubilee? They went into captivity in Babylon in 606 BC. So how could they perform the 20th Jubilee and keep on going with the Jubilees? They couldn't do it. So now God said through the tongue of our master, not one jot nor tittle of the law can pass until all be fulfilled. So Brother Russell's thinking about it. Well, their Jubilee counting apparently ended there. And after the 19th Jubilee, there was, in fact, 19 years between the end of the last Jubilee performed here and they went into captivity here. So that was 19 years into the next cycle. So his reasoning was, well, let's see, to have Pentecost or 50th day, it was squaring the days, 7 times 7 days, 49 days, and then Pentecost. And for the Jubilees, they had the years where, or the Sabbath years, you had 7 years in the Sabbath, 6 years in the Sabbath year. And so, and then when you had 7 times 7 Sabbath years, you were to have a Jubilee. So God keeps squaring these numbers all the time. What if you squared the Jubilees themselves? 50 years for the total cycle of the Jubilee. You've got 49 years and then a Jubilee year. Well, if you squared the 50 times 50, that would be 2,500 years. And so we put, we're not going to sneak a peek yet. And by the way, when I did this, I didn't sneak a peek either. I just took the Jubilee year right here, or the 49 year loop with the Jubilee year right here. And there's a command that's a copy command, and it can be a rotational one. So I copied it and told it to array and go to the left and do 50. So what you're seeing on here appeared there for the magenta colored ones, which are the Jubilee according to the law. Which squaring after the 19th, apparently the counting to up to the counting for the antitype ended there. So the Jubilees, according to the law then of squaring them, start right here after the end of the Jubilee year, which is the 19th one. Now, Brother Russell also said, our Heavenly Father, knowing that we would need a lot of proof, adds a prophecy that shows that there should have been 70 Jubilees. Why? Where did that come from? How long was the desolation of the land? 70 years. Why? So that the land could enjoy her Sabbaths that they had not completely fulfilled each time. They were to restore everything back in the Jubilee year and redistribute it amongst the tribes. And well, you can imagine there probably were some that didn't really want to do that, the ones that were richer. And so anyway, they're half-heartedly doing it, and then they were punished for 70 years for not fulfilling that. So Brother Russell says, okay, they had 19 years out of the 70 that they actually at least half-heartedly did the Jubilees. So that would be the same as our loops coming from the bottom here up to the 19th one. Then what he did was, okay, how many are left? 70 minus 19 is 51. So let's see if the antitype matches the law or the antitypical counting, the 2,500 years. Does that match where the prophecy would show the 70? So where does this start when we're talking about this? This started back when they entered the land of Canaan, not here at the end of the 19th Jubilee. So 19 of them came from the entering in the land of Canaan. 51 of them go on progressively, but no Jubilee. So what I did was I just arrayed this loop and put in 51. And hit the button, and you see what you see here. Now, note what happens right here. Take a careful look at this. The antitypical counting has the Jubilee in it. Since they couldn't observe them and did not observe them any time after they went into captivity in Babylon, the prophetic counting showing what really happened was they didn't observe it. So we're not going to observe it. And here's where the second one came in then. Or well, it would be number 20. So you got here's 20, here's number 21 then after it. So the 21st Jubilee here. Now what happened over here? We're looking at mathematically, we're looking at what happened with each Jubilee cycle according to the law and the Jubilee cycles of what actually happened where they weren't performing it. They're becoming skewed here a little bit. You can see it a little better on that one. Let's go a little further. Getting bigger. Let's go a little faster. Getting a lot bigger. We're looking at the math of this Jubilee cycle by Jubilee cycle. I tell you what, this always gets me. I'm getting chills. And I did this the first time I looked at it. I did not see the other end. So here we go. As we're going here, we're getting further and further. Let's go a little faster. We'll just squeeze her in here a little bit more. Now notice they're passing the center of it. Let's get up here a little bigger again so we can see we're getting closer there. We're getting a lot closer there. We're getting really close. Only we're 1 year off. Bingo. The two lines are stopping at the same place. Now, remember the rule with the law, the antitype, when it starts, displaces the type. So when we get to that last Jubilee cycle, instead of it being 1 year, it's the 1,000 years. So here's where the prophecy ended, and it didn't have the Jubilees on it, so it ends right there, exactly 1874. And the counting to Earth's Great Jubilee came to 1874, and then the Jubilee would have been there. It would have been this, but the 40, next 49-year cycle is displaced by the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And we just always really appreciated the almost miraculous about that. Now, if any were having difficulty with Brother Russell's explanations of what would happen if you shifted it 1 year, let's take a look, because we can physically look at it here. If we started the antitypical counting at, let's say they went into captivity in here. Let's say we somehow messed up and we had them going into captivity in here. That means that right here at the end of the 18th one would be where the antitypical counting of 25 or 50 times 50, the 2,500 years, it would have started back here 1 year before. Instead of, oh, you can't see my finger. Yeah, I got to move my cursor here. Sorry. 5 minutes. Okay. So it would have started one Jubilee cycle before that, which is 50 years back. The only thing that would have affected on the prophetic counting is we would have had 18 of them at 50 years and 52 of them at 49 years. It would only shift the other end by a year. So at the other end, if we went short, it would have ended the antitypical counting here, and then it would have still the prophetic counting would have been 1 year past. So that's all the difference it would have made in it. If you go the other way, then the law counting would have ended up actually out here where this loop is, and the prophetic one would have only moved one this way, because you would have just had one less or one more year at a 50 cycle and one less year at a 49. So you can see how absolutely positive that is and what a lock that is on the chronology. And so then you absolutely know that the times of restitution began in October 1874. And then what's the discrepancy? Adam was in the Garden of Eden in 4128 BC, and he fell 2 years later in 4126 BC. So we just really, that is the chronology and the Jubilees. The other chart, you can, it's, they're both in the same drawing, so downloading the files will give you this one. Don't freak out when you look at this one. All of this is just the chronology to show it all there. What you're adding here is merely the Israel's double, of 1845 years, and the counting that's required for that is in there. And then you've got the 1260, 1290, 1335 days, all on a handout that the brethren will have for you online. And so it's just got the additional items on this chart, plus I think everyone will enjoy this, is how the time times and a half a time are. We added that here, and the various ways it's mentioned and the counting of it. And we had read across another one that we hadn't noticed, and that was in Genesis about the months. It's 150 days from the beginning of the flood waters on the earth to the end of it. And it goes from the second month to the ninth month, or let's see, second month to the seventh month, 17th day of both months. So 5 times 30 is 150 for the another proof of the 42 months, or 30 days per month for the chronology on God's calendar. And
thank you, Brother Don. You're at time.
Yep, we could.
If you had a few words you want to wrap up, we can, and then take the hymn.
Okay. Yeah, just don't believe it because we said it, and look up every scripture citation and know that this is from God and not from man. And may the Lord add his blessing.